This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Weather's not too bad, not too hot.
Oh, I know. And isn't that weird?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the 90s, but that's okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Golly, by now I'm used to it being like 125, 130, 150 maybe.
Yeah, but it's not that hot yet. Just wait till August. We got another month to go. Well, but we're supposed to have rain next week.
Really?
You know, I think on Wednesday and Thursday, we might have a little rain, 40-60%.
Well, geez.
So that's going to bring the temperature back down again.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
That will be nice, and that'll help us.
Yeah.
So that'll be a blessing.
Yeah, a little a little cool moisture before the heat kicks in.
That's right. I mean, it's to get us conditioned for it. It's to get us ready, you know? Oh, my gosh. And we had two maturities this week.
What? Really?
Yeah, I had two maturities.
Oh,
those
wow.
People are glad. And then we, the Chamberlain policy, that went in everybody's bank account this week. That was $1 million.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so everybody got paid on that. So a lot of good things happening.
Jeez.
And we're working on two large policies. I'll let you know next week if those happen. But this one of them is the Ginsburg policy that, as you know, we did not close in January. And the family is now finally come back to me and said, we're ready to close.
Really?
So we're going to see how that goes. Then we've got a doctor. We've got his policy that we're working on. We don't know if it's a done deal yet or not, but it's a $2 million policy.
Wow, that's big.
And, yeah, it's that big, and the doctor is very ill. So he came to us to sell his policy, and unless he gets sidetracked, you know, I think we're going to do that one. So it's going to be big policies next week.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I know that, you know, like the last couple of weeks or so when we talk, it's just like, yeah, some things are kind of going on a little bit. But man, it's like all of a sudden, it's like what a difference 1 week makes. It's like, you know, all of a sudden.
In our business, a week can be just like a year. I mean, you know, we've been trying to get all these things closed. Then, you know, two big ones hit me at one time.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at $7 million.
Jeez.
And they're both really good policies. If you remember, the Ginsburg is glioblastoma, a rare form of brain cancer.
Yes.
And we're getting a new LE on it because, you know, it's been several months. And so we wanted, and they're supposed to be sending me several hundred pages of medical records to read to be sure we're on track on it. But it looks like we are. And as I said, they sent me over the contract. I don't have everything finished yet. Don't have it signed. But, it looks good.
Man, and this is because it was around the holidays that we started talking about it, that it might come around?
It was, yes. December and January, we were trying, and we gave them all the time in the world, if you remember. And they were just having problems and having problems. We couldn't get it signed. And we wasted 2 months with them. And, you know, which was really bad because the clients were all calling saying, hey, where are we at on Ginsburg? Well, we had a serious problem there. And finally, we just walked away and said, you know, we can't wait any longer. We're not going to do this. But now they have come back and they're ready to do it. And, you know, it looks like the family wants to get it sold and get this straightened out. So it looks like we may close that.
Wow. I mean, I would imagine probably, you know, with six or I guess it's 6 or 7 months have gone by since the original, go around with it. I would imagine probably things have maybe changed as far as like the LE or things have progressed.
That's what we think. We think there will be a big change. And so that's the only thing I haven't done yet is read that, which I've got to do that and read all the new medical and see what we think. But I think it's, like you say, it's going to be less months than it was before.
What made them come back around? Do they say, or do we know, or does it even maybe it doesn't
we
even
don't
matter?
Know what the problem really was. There was some kind of a problem, and they couldn't fix it. When we were trying to do it, and they said now they can do it. Everything's fine, and they're ready to sell.
Wow, is this one of those where you kind of think maybe and it. You might not even know at this point. I don't know. But maybe it might be like one of those that kind of cuts it, close from like signing the papers to, when the policy matures. Is it like that close or?
No, I don't think it's that close. No.
Okay.
I think they would keep it if it was. No, I think it's a matter of there was something. That I don't know if they were getting a divorce. I mean, I don't know what it was. There was something legally that they could not go forward.
Oh,
I don't know
I
what
see.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, there was something that was holding it up, and they said they had resolved it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So whatever that means, they said they've got it resolved, and now they want to go forward with us.
Well, still, that's good news.
So,
that's come around again.
That is good news that we're working on. And the doctor, his is 3 years. And I'm glad that he came to us. He has a $2 million policy, and him and his wife are talking it over, and I think we'll be ready to go on it.
So when you have these, when you have like say $7 million in policies right in front of you like this, what does that do to the number of investors that you have? How many people would go into something like this?
A lot. I remember when we had this ready before. I forget how many people it took. I think it was 30.
Oh,
seems
wow.
Like it was 30 people it took to do this before. So we're looking at 30 or 40 people to invest the whole thing. Yes, it'll take a lot of people.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah, so a lot of people have had a lot of policies come due lately. I think we've had about 6 or 7 that have went into the bank. So we'll look at everybody's account. See how much they have, how we're going to do this, what amount we'll allow in, and then we will send out an email to everyone saying, here's the facts, here's the months, here's what your profit will be, and say this is your invitation.
Wow, that is really fantastic.
Yes. It is fantastic to get two quality policies at the same time.
Yeah.
And because we've been bidding on a lot of small ones, 300, 400,000. We were awarded a 400,000 this week. A lady has breast cancer. We got that one. We're waiting for the contracts on it. So, we've got a lot of things working, but nothing this big. And so this will be the two large ones that we're going to be working on.
So when you have something like that happens where you have a really big policy come through, and then say some for whatever reason it falls through like this one, around the holidays, January, December, are you able to can you track it? Do you see what's happening with it, or is it just kind of like off the radar and then boom, it just kind of shows up out of the blue?
Yes, it was gone. I mean, once we wiped our hands of it, we went on to other policies and put people's money in other things.
So it's essentially off the radar at that point.
That's right. Once everything is gone, we just go on with what we're doing and get other policies and work on those.
Wow. Well, then that was a nice surprise when that came
back. It was
back
a very
around.
Nice surprise.
Wow. Well, then congratulations. That's a really big deal.
It is a big deal. So hopefully we'll pull it off. Our clients are going to love it. I know we will because we'll help so many people at one time. Because, a lot of people have been calling saying, do you have some more policies for me? Do you have another one? I've got one big investor that said, he was in the office this week, and he said, when are you going to get me fully invested? And Claudia said, anytime now. Because she didn't want to tell him, you know, that I was working on all these.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to spill the beans too soon.
We don't want to tell anybody until we know we've got them.
Wow. That is really, really cool. Does everybody know at this point? Well, you just said
no,
it.
No, they do not. Well, I guess they do after a day, don't they? Yeah, they'll know after this morning that we're working on those two big policies.
I guess if you're going to kind of keep something close to your chest for a while, announcing it on the radio is probably not the
smartest thing to do, but oh my gosh. Anyway, they'll know, so that's all right.
Yeah, it's good news.
It's good news. We're working on it. I think there's a lot of profit to be made here, and I think everybody will love these two policies.
Fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
What does this do to the whole landscape of the entire year? Because I know it's been kind of a strange year. I know last year was a little bit weird. And then there was that game where people were playing where like other companies would come in and they would, you know, bid these outrageous amounts. And then there was this game that sellers would be playing, or I guess maybe the brokers were playing it on behalf of the sellers. But there was this game where they were, you know, trying to squeeze as much money out as they could. And then there was this, how are things things kind of like back to normal now, or where are we in the?
I don't think entirely. I think it's taken a long time to get back to normal. I think it's taken us longer to get policies this year. You know, the competition has been fierce, and so we've lost quite a few policies that we've bid on that we should have gotten any other time we would have. But I think this will make up for it.
Yeah, yeah. Are things calming down a little bit? What do you see like the second half of the year looking like?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't know if it'll be an abundance of policies or if we'll have to fight for them, you know? Hmm. I just don't know yet. I know we have bid this week. We bid on 8 policies.
Really?
So we're bidding a lot of policies. The policies are out there. It's just, you know, are you going to get them? You don't know.
Yeah, and they're good policies from what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we've had a lot of good. We've only turned one down this week, and it was 4 years, and, you know, we don't like to go that long. You know, we'd like to go 2.5, 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was 4, and I just didn't feel like if it was 4 years they were sick is what we require.
Yeah. Interesting.
So we turned it down, yeah.
So when people are thinking about other things and they hear stuff like, you know, and I know it kind of, I know at the end of the year, last year, you know, there was that major policy that came through and people got really, really excited. And I know that, you know, things kind of go in waves, but on a typical situation, and I know you've got the two big ones, you know, that are on the table right now. In a normal situation for a new investor that would come in that wants to get involved with a life settlement, what would an average time look like? Or is there even an average time anymore where they would like, you know, without any, you know, major gigantic policies that are there, how many should they expect to be in? How often should they come in? How often should they, you know, expect maturities? How does the whole thing kind of
had an awful lot of maturities this year. We've had several that were early, then we had some that were late that just now came in. So, you know, it all evens out in the end. As I said, we've had several that were early, that came in early. In fact, one of these that came in this week was early, and then the other one was late. And so you never know about that, but it usually evens out in the end, you know. We've just had an awful lot of maturities already this year, and I don't know how many. I know we've had more than 6 just in the last 60 days.
Interesting.
And then we had 2 this week.
It almost seems like, and this is just from the outside looking in, but it almost seems like this year has kind of come in waves. It's like there'll be several that will mature all at once, and then kind of like a little spell, and then several that'll mature all at once, and then a little spell. Is that accurate, or is that normal?
Oh, well, that's normal. You just don't know, you know. And lots of times we aren't notified right away. And then we've got one company that they have such a good relationship with their clients that we're notified immediately. But we've got some that we're not, you know, that you're not notified that quickly.
Hmm. So then it's just a little bit of a delay in finding out, but the policy has already matured. It's just a matter of getting it done.
Yeah. And I can tell you, well, right now I'm looking at the list. We've had the Cohen policy, Velikan, the Peterson, Crawley, Pesky, Slater, Varnholt, Simpson, maturities.
Really?
Yes.
That's a hefty list.
It is. And I'm looking at it right now, and it, altogether, it looks like it's $10 million.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that we've had.
Wow, that's incredible.
For the year. Now, that's not just, you know, lately, that's for the whole year.
Yeah, but we're only like just a little over halfway through the year. So that's,
yeah,
I mean, that's a good, that's a nice start to the year. From what it sounds like, is that about an average, or is it?
Well, I think it's average or maybe a little above. And, you know, as I said, the Cohen policy was $5 million by itself.
Yeah.
And then the one that just went into the bank, that was $1 million. So, you know, we've had several $1 million ones, $500,000, and then we've had some small ones. And the two that came due this week were fairly small. As I said, one of them was early, and that one was one that had went over.
And by small, you mean like a couple hundred thousand?
Yeah, that is small.
Do you, and it almost feels like a loaded question, but do you recommend, I don't know how to ask this. It seems like a lot of people would say, hey, I only want to be in big policies for obvious reasons, you know, larger returns.
No.
But do people typically have like, they're in like smaller policies and then like it's
whatever comes next.
Mm.
In other words, we just take it by next. Whatever comes up next, we put you in it if it meets your guidelines. Because everybody has different things. Some people say, I want short term. Some people say 30 months is fine. And then some say, I want just in this type of cancer, which is crazy. Because you can go back and look at all the cancer policies that have matured, and it's all over the place. You know, it's not limited to one kind.
It seems to me like when you look at the law of averages and you look at the big picture of what happens and how the whole investment works, it seems like it would be if people are properly diversified, they may be in just about anything that comes along, because there'll be some larger ones, there'll be some smaller ones, there'll be some longer ones that are maybe, you know, say 24 or 30 months. There may be some other ones that are, you know, maybe 18 or 24. And so it seems like when you look at the law of averages, being as diversified in a little bit of everything as possible would really be beneficial to just about anybody. But I know people do have favorites. So
they do, and they a lot of people like prostate cancer, men especially. A lot of our men clients, if it's prostate cancer, they'll do it. And we've had a lot of maturities in prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, you know, our main ones. And then, of course, we're doing some that we've never done before, like all the esophageal cancers. And those have been pretty short-lived, the esophageal cancer.
Is there any benefit to some, you know, like you say, some people, you know, prefer certain types over others. Is there any kind of benefit to, say, I guess, for lack of a better term, holding out for a particular type of policy?
No, because it could be 6 months. The best thing to do is say, this person looks real sick. Yes, I'll go in it. If they're sick enough and you like the terms, you should go in it. Don't wait for one kind of cancer. That's silly.
Yeah.
In other words, you've got to be diversified, and you've got to say, okay, the profit is right, the length of time is right, then I'm in.
It seems
you got to look at it this way. What does this policy offer? It offers a quick turnaround. Is it a type of cancer that usually doesn't last long? Those are things to look at. Don't get caught up and say, I only like one kind of cancer. That's not a good thing.
Do many people try to do that, or is it
no,
just...
No, I don't have very many do that. Most of them, it's just, you know, they how many months it is, if it's 18 months versus 30 months. Of course, I love the 30 months. I want the longer profit, you know.
Because if they come in sooner, I would imagine...
Yeah, that is a great thing because you've made 30% maybe in 24 months or 20 months. Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great turnaround.
That's right. But remember, what's the best thing about this investment? You always know you'll get your principal and interest because it's different than other types of investing. It's a life insurance policy. And remember, the life insurance company always pays the exact amount of the policy. They're not going to discount it. They're not going to ask you to take less than you've got coming. You're always going to get that principal and interest with a life insurance policy. And so that's what I love about the investment.
You know, and it seems like life settlements, just as a whole, and I know we kind of break things down a little bit and we segment policies and we talk about, you know, different terms and things like that. But it seems like the investment as a whole, a life settlement itself, is just, it's such a great win-win situation for people who, well, it's great for anybody, but especially for those who are looking for something that are a little bit more conservative, looking for something where, you know, like you said, they know what they're going to make. They know approximately when they're going to make it. It's just a waiting game. It's not a matter of, it seems like the life settlement itself, it's set up and designed so that a lot of the worry of people who are in, say, Wall Street or something like that, you know, all those uncertainties and all those variables that can change based on things that are completely not related to it at all, because we know how shaky Wall Street can be. Anything can affect it. It can go up, it can go down, you can make a profit, you can make nothing, you could barely break even after 25 years and look around and say, what have I been doing? You know, I haven't made anything or anywhere close to what I've wanted to. But with the life settlement, you can almost sit down with the numbers on a spreadsheet and say, look, I'm in this policy that's worth this much and it should mature in this amount of time. I'm in this policy, which is this much and should mature in this amount of time. You can almost sit and virtually plan your investments and your return on investments. Is that accurate? I mean, I know things change, but is that about right?
Well, you can do one or two things. You can say, okay, I've got 6 policies or I've got 10 policies. Some of them are 2 years, some of them are 3, some are 18 months. And you can kind of plan, you know, when you think they're going to mature. But remember, we're not always accurate. It can be off 3 months, 6 months, whatever. But you know that you're going to get paid. That's the great thing. And when you least expect it, you know, we're calling saying one of your policies has matured, like the Chamberlain policy. One of our clients had called me, said, I've got 3 policies that have gone over, Faye. I'm really worried. So I get on the phone with him. I talk to him about the Chamberlain policy, and I said, you know, I think it's going to come due any time. Well, we didn't know. It had already matured. We just hadn't been notified yet. So I had Claudia call him immediately when I found out and tell him, by the way, that policy you were so worried about, it's already matured. You're fixing to get paid. And, the Chamberlain policy was $1 million.
Wow,
so
wow.
There was quite a few people in it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they got paid, and that's always, you know, great. As I said, all these people on all these policies, you know, the money has already gone in their accounts. And as I said, it's a total of about $10 million. And one of them was an old policy, of course, you know. I'm sitting here looking at them. Clemens' policy was $500,000. And then, as I said, the Chamberlain policy was $1 million, and it just came due. And that was on top of all these others.
Wow. As you start going through these policies, and this is like, we have this policy and it was $1 million and this policy, it's just and seeing the things that are on the horizon, it seems like it's a great time. And I don't know if there's ever a bad time, but it seems like it's a really great time for new investors to come over, try maybe a more of a conservative type of investment, especially if they're looking at their spreadsheets, if they're saying, you know, geez, I really want to retire in 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years. But you know, as we go over our profits, you know, from Wall Street, we're just not there, and we really want to tighten things up a little bit. We want to accelerate, you know, what we're doing, and we really want to get on more of a solid plan, or I guess maybe a solid path towards a better retirement. And it seems like this is a really good time to do it. Is there ever a bad time to get involved in life settlements? It doesn't seem like anything would affect it.
I don't think so, because it's not going to change. You know, it's not going to have that kind of an up and down. There's always going to be policies maturing. We're always going to be buying new policies. We're going to be replacing policies at all times, which we do that a lot, as you know. So, you know, it's just a turnover. We get the policies, we turn them over, and do it again, you know. So it's a continuous deal. We get the policies, they mature, the clients make the money, then we put them in another policy.
We
have people that says, okay, I'm not going to reinvest till this particular policy matures. And that's okay. You know, they, that way they can just sit there and wait. And when it matures, then we'll reinvest that money.
You know, it's a little bit weird because, you know, I guess conversations that people have about investing with life settlements are a little bit different than other types of investments when they have these conversations, because there's a lot of strategy involved, especially when people are setting up, you know, their 401k. You'll go through the typical, and I'm just kind of glossing over this, but you go through your typical thing of, you know, you check the box. Yeah, I want to be in more conservative investments, or, you know, I want to be a little bit more aggressive, especially if they're early on in their investment life. And it seems like with life settlements, there's not really any of that. It's just like, it seems like a lot of these uncertainties and a lot of the strategy almost gets removed because it is so stable. It is so consistent. It is such a maybe a well-informed type of investment. It's not like anybody's getting into a risky life settlement, because you're not even, I mean, the only policies you bid on are stage 4 cancer, and they're really not all that risky. It's just, I want in, and I want to just wait for the policy to mature. Are there different conversations, or am I just looking at this really kind of weird?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just, it just goes the same way all the time. You know, they get a policy, they invest in it, it matures, and then we do another one. And it's conservative investing. It's, you're not going to get rich quick. That ain't going to ever happen. But it goes time after time, the same deal. You know, you're getting paid, you're investing the money, making your interest. And someone said the other day, "Hey, I'm fixing to owe a pot full of money." And I go, well, you didn't have an IRA, and you didn't have it in a Roth, you know. So, yes, you're going to have to pay tax on it.
Mm.
So, but be thankful you made that to pay tax on.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's true.
I mean, you know, if you weren't making money, you wouldn't owe any tax on it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good indication that they're doing well.
That they are doing well when they say to me, "We're going to owe a pot full of money."
How does it work for say somebody's on the fence right now? They're saying, you know, I'm really interested. I'm intrigued. How does a life settlement work to begin with? I mean, what makes it? We talk about all these different variables between this and Wall Street. How does the what's the greatest asset, I guess, of a life settlement? What's the greatest draw? What is the one
to me? It's the, you know, you'll always get your interest. You know, you'll always get your principal. I like that part of it. And people who are getting ready to retire, they're bringing over, you know, money all the time now, because they're fixing to retire. They want to get it out of the stock market before they retire, put it in this where they don't have to pay attention. I think that's the greatest thing, is you don't have to pay attention every day. You don't have to check the stock market. You don't have to get up at night and see if you've lost any money. You know, if you're in mutual funds, if you're in stocks, you know, you've got to check all that. Not that you control it, the broker controls it, but you might want to know what they're doing, you know. So people are on edge a lot of the time. And with this, I don't think they're on edge. I think they are pretty relaxed, knowing they'll always get their money. They know they're going to get paid. And, you know, that's important to them, to know that that money and the interest is coming back to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, because so many times people get into Wall Street, I think they just think, well, you know, let's just get into stocks and let's just do that because it's what people just generally do. They don't always know that there are other alternatives. And so when they find out, you know, hey, this is not only an alternative, but it's really it's a better option. There's, like you say, there's little engagement. It's literally just a matter of you invest and you wait for the policy to mature. That's literally all there is to it. There's nothing else.
That's right. And you know that it's going to happen. If it's early, it may be on time. And if it's late even, you know that those people are going to pass away. You are going to get your money. And that's the most important part, always getting your money back.
For a habitual, say, stock investor, when they come over and start life settlements, is there an adjustment period of realizing, hey, we can just kind of relax a little bit, we can sleep at night, we know that this is coming, we just have to wait? Or are they like nervous, like, oh my God, what about this policy? What about this policy? What do I need to do?
I think the first deal, they're a little nervous. But after they've had a couple mature, then they realize how it really works.
And they probably, I'm guessing, you hear from people and say, why didn't I start this like 10 years ago?
I have had people say that. I've had a lot of people say, why didn't we do this years before? And you know, they regret that they weren't invested with us earlier when they see how it works. Also, when a friend calls them, this is how much I've made with Faye. This is what we've made this year. This is what we made the last 2 or 3 years.
It's hard to walk away from numbers. It's hard to ignore the fact that that people really do make amazing profits from investing in life settlements. And on your website, you have a ton of information that people can actually look at. So I know you have a lot of, you know, face-to-face referrals from people, friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, and they all talk about it, which is really fantastic. But on your website, even just, you know, people that people don't know, you've got all these statistics on there that people can look at any time, and all those are real numbers, real profits
they're real people. Let's put it that way. It's real people, and it tells you what they've made, when they made it, how much they made. It gives you all the facts, and that's a good thing to know, because we want everybody to know what people have made. We want them to know how soon they made it, if it was over, if it was under, if it was on time. We want them to know the facts.
Yeah, and I guess before we get into trivia, it's important to stress the fact that, you know, this is not a new thing. This is not an experiment. This is not nobody's a guinea pig for investing in life settlements. This has been around for a very long time. And so it's important to have that historical data, and I think it's fantastic. And I think you hear a lot of people say, you know, geez, I'm glad you have all this information on your website, knowing that this has been an option for a very long time, that historical data that shows that it works and it still does work, and it's just as viable now as it ever has been. So that's really fantastic.
We I think it is.
Probably mention what your website actually is.
It's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. What is your phone number?
Our phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. And again, our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, we're going to talk about the Frio River.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, the Frio River, you know, is the most beautiful river in Texas. And, you know, do you know how far it dates back? The Frio Canyon dates back 12,000 years.
Oh, now, I was going to say 1860, and I would have been way off.
Yeah. When the Spanish explorer, Alfonso de Leon, He encountered the river in 1689.
Really?
And they called it Rio Sarco, which means the river of light blue color.
Really?
Yes. So it is the most famous river we have. I guess everybody says it's the most beautiful river. They say it could be Switzerland, it could be Europe, it could be anywhere. That's what they talk about, the Frio River. The Frio River is probably the coldest river we've got. Everybody talks about it, you know. Dadgum thing, you jump in and it is cold.
Yikes. That'll wake you up.
But the canyon, the Frio Canyon, is the most beautiful thing in Texas. You've got all these dramatic rises, these canyons. The valley bottoms are crisscrossed with springs and hollows. We've got vast grasslands down there. We've got gigantic oaks, junipers, towering cypress trees. It's spectacular, no matter where you look. But the Frio is the true Texas Hill Country classic. Everybody talks about it. And it's old school. The Frio River is old school. Inner tubes. You jump in on an inner tube. Only thing you have to do is be able to swim. I mean, yeah. That's a prerequisite. If you can swim, you can do the Frio.
I guess that'd
be
important.
The Frio runs 20 miles.
Really?
It runs 3 miles in to Garner State Park.
Really?
Yes. The hill country is probably the prettiest landscape of Texas. And it's just clear, blue water, running creeks, running rivers. Do you know how many rivers we have in Texas?
I know you've told me before, and I feel like I should know this. It's 150.
15 rivers.
Well, that's what I meant.
But the Frio, the canyons of the Frio, it's got soaring limestone bluffs, some of the most dramatic hills in the entire state, and its name is Spanish for cold.
Really?
Yes. And it has shallow, it's transparent, it's limestone and gravel beds, and then you've got deep pools, but it's all fed by springs that keeps that cold water like it is, even, they said, in mid-July. Pearl Beer, in the 50s and 60s, used the North Fork of the Rio and the Frio for all of its ads. And they took pictures of all this and made beautiful campaigns for television off of the Frio River.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. And if you want to go on vacation for old school, you go to the Frio River. And you just get on it in an inner tube or a paddle boat, and you just drift down there, lazy as it can be. But if you take Highway 83, if you come off the Edwards Plateau, and you can, as you come down that canyon wall, you can see all this for miles and see how the beauty of it, how lush it is, and how the vegetation is so dense there in the hill country. And everybody says it could be a Texas Switzerland, is what people say.
You know, I know we've all either been there or seen pictures, and it may be several years since we have, but to hear you describe it, it's just like you really should probably write the little thing, the pamphlet for like the tourist place, because you bring a new life to it that maybe we've forgotten about.
Well, maybe everybody has. Now then, Neil's place is there on the river. Now, it is famous for its chicken fried steak.
Oh.
And they built this 12 cabins on the Frio in 1926. They had a ranch there. So they decided to build some cabins. People have been coming back to Neil's place since 1926. They've just recently sold it. But they had it all this time. And everybody knew them. They came back for that chicken fried. You can still go to Neil's place and get at the restaurant and get the chicken fried steak. I mean, it is fabulous.
Oh, sounds amazing.
And the couple that bought it are the Davenports. They took the barn where his famous horse was, Joe Jimmy, and they built an entertainment center. with music and people can dance under the stars again. It's old school.
Really?
And yes. Now then, as you know, the Frio runs 3 miles through Garner State Park. And you know how famous Garner State Park is. It's our most famous park.
Oh, yeah.
And when you go to Garner State Park, it's so busy in the summertime. The best time to go to Garner is during the week. I mean, it's not a quiet place. It's called Texas's Yellowstone. And it is roaring and rocking. You know, there's something going on every minute. And then you've got Old Baldy. And I know you may have heard me talk about it. The top of it is 400-something feet. It's half a mile. And people love to see if they can walk that whole thing and walk up Old Baldy. And Garner is 1,700 acres. It's huge.
Wow.
And they have a pavilion there, and people still, on Friday and Saturday night, they dance there in the pavilion to a jukebox.
Really? Oh,
that's
wow.
That's how old school all this
Dude,
is.
Dude, that's cool. Really
it is
cool.
So cool. Yes. And they're still playing the old recording of B.J. Thomas.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the trumpets from 1965, folks.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a very popular hangout. Everybody loves Garner State Park. And as I said, the Frio runs right through it 3 miles. And there's 2 old towns out there that people can go and get supplies at and all this. Now then, if the towering cliffs aren't enough, those beautiful canyons, they have helicopter rides now.
Really?
Yes. So you can get on Holt Helicopter and tour the entire canyon.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Is that new?
The Frio Canyons. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's fairly new. So if you can't see everything from the ground, get a helicopter ride, go up and tour all the canyons and the Frio River.
Man, that's got to be a magical ride. That's exciting.
I think it really is. It's just, you know, there's 20 million bats down there. You can go into the Frio Caves in the evenings. That's another thing you can do. And, wow. Of course, Old Baldy, you've got to climb Old Baldy just to see if you can. see how old you really are if you can do that or not.
Just to see if you can.
Yes, but, you know, you've got the paddle boats. You've got, you know, you can use the tubes. Everybody's on the inner tubes. All this is just old school. It's not anything fancy. But it's the best place in Texas is the Frio River and the Frio Canyons. These canyons are magnificent. They're beautiful. They're stunning to look at. And everybody says it could be Switzerland. It could be anywhere in Europe. That's how they look at this and the beauty of Frio Canyon.
This is the real deal.
This is the real deal. And only in Texas have they got anything this majestic.
Know it. I mean, I'm really excited about these helicopter tours. That just sounds really just amazing to me.
It is. And it's improved so much over the years. You know, they're making it modern, which is kind of a shame, but it gives you a chance to see everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if as long as they don't like start building stuff on it or, you know, disrupting the natural aspect of it, you know, even if they add, you know, some things here and there just to enjoy what's there more, if they start changing it, then that would be a totally different thing. But I mean, it's just it's amazing, you know, how sometimes we get wrapped up in our technologies and our things and our, you know, stuff and all that, and it's nice to be able to just find a place like this and just kind of get back to, like you say, it's basic stuff, you know, like tubing. I mean, there's no fancy rides or things like that through there. It's really, really nice. It's something that maybe sometimes we forget about sometimes.
That's right. We forget about what all we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Amazing. And the helicopter rides it's just I'm stuck on that for some reason. I just can't even imagine the perspective that you would get from up in the air like that. I just think,
yes,
that'd be amazing.
You can see everything for miles and miles. You can get a perspective of the whole thing at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, and while we're still in summer vacation mode, it might be a good time to go down. Like you say, during the week, though, because the weekends.
Yeah, go during the week if you want to go to Garner State Park, if you want to do the whole thing, because in the summer, Garner State Park is going to be jumping. But you can get on the Frio River all along the road there. You can just get in with your inner tube or a paddle boat. You can rent a paddle boat and just lazily go down the river.
Yeah. Just quietness and the nature.
The quietness of the Frio River is worth the trip.
Yeah, it is.
And then if you want to get rowdy, go over to Garner State Park, you know. Climb Old Baldy, do that. Go through the canyons, do all this, and you won't be disappointed, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Because it's a great experience.
If you want to get rowdy.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Was. And dance in the pavilion to the jukebox. Now, how old school is that?
That's amazing. You know, you forget about stuff like that. It's like, we've been there, seen it, whatever. But then it's just like, oh yeah, forgot about that. And it's just like you kind of spark these memories, and it's just like, wow, you know, you don't see stuff like that just anywhere and every day. And so it's important to keep those things going and enjoy the simpler things, I guess.
Yes, it is, and it's a family deal. You can take your grandchildren, you can take your children, or just go you and your wife and have a leisurely trip and eat at Neil's, get that chicken fried steak, get those other things, and just enjoy yourself. It's a good weekend or a good week even to go to all the towns down there and visit all the places. But me, I would stay on the river.
So you're not the rowdy type then, is what you're saying.
I'm not the rowdy type. I'd stay on the river. Enjoy that son of a gun. Just enjoy the peace and quiet of that river, because Garner State Park is going to be a little noisy.
Yeah. Man, I'm transformed to a whole new place in time now. Awesome.
Yeah. And get the helicopter.
Yeah. I can't even wait. I'm so excited about that. I didn't know that they added that. That's really cool.
Oh yeah. I mean, they've been adding all this new stuff, you know, for the people that need to get up above it all and get to see it all. I mean, all these canyons, the beauty of West Texas is so beautiful. It's so populated with trees, every kind of tree. You've got the Bat Cave. You've got so many things to see down there.
Yeah, so much variety. So many,
so much variety. There's so many different things, okay?
Amazing. It sounds like a nice, zenful place to just kind of chill out, unless you want to get rowdy.
And it's not expensive. Remember this, folks. This is not like going to Vegas or going to some high-priced place. It's just, you know, out in the country, enjoy it.
Yeah. Back to nature where you can actually hear like water and hear like
That's
nature
right.
sounds and things like that.
That's right. You can hear yourself think, let me tell you. And you can hear the night birds, you know, and they have like 200 species of birds there. I mean, there's a lot of things to see.
Golly, it's just
all nature is right there.
Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, like a long time ago, before we had all our electronic stuff and noisemakers, it's amazing how they just kind of like that was like an everyday life for people, and now we have to make special plans to get back and enjoy those things. But it's nice to know that we've got the resources, you know, within our grasp to go and do it too.
That's right.
Really, really cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Let's talk just for a second about the risks of a life settlement, because I know people, you know, they love the conservativeness of it. They love the informedness of it. They love knowing what they'll make, approximately when they'll make it. But there are three risks that people need to know about, and we always have to cover those. What's the biggest?
Well, the biggest one is it can go over. You have to be prepared for that. A percentage of them are going to go over. I've never had anybody that didn't have something go over. So you have to be ready for that, and that's your biggest risk. Then the second biggest risk is it's not liquid till it matures. So if you have an emergency, you have to be accredited where it will not affect you. So you must be accredited to do this. This means you must make $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without your home. Either way.
All right.
And then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. We haven't had that happen in years, and because of their premium income, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much money involved with it. Like you said it before, you know, if one did, go up for sale, say somebody would buy it before lunch, just because it's such a moneymaker for companies, and so it just wouldn't. I mean, it almost like it feeds itself, really. To I guess put it bluntly. So when people come over for the first time and they're thinking about investing, how much time should they plan on maybe investing until, because there's somebody having conversations right now. They're thinking, this is really exciting. This is probably going to take like 20 years. I should have started this a long time ago. I'm 5 years away from retiring. It's too late to start. How long should, say, a new investor plan on being involved in life settings before they're at a good place where they've got a nice base of profits?
I would figure 6 or 7 years. You know, you want to stay long enough that you have turned your money several times.
Hmm. Okay. That's not long. I mean, people...
No. And we've got a lot of people been with us a lot longer than that now.
Yeah.
You know, we've got people been with us 10 years.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know why I'm shocked by that. I guess we know it. It's just different when you actually hear it out loud.
That's it, yeah. I mean, people have been with us a long time.
Yeah. So if people are thinking about it, they're saying, hey, maybe it is time. What kinds of things should they, be asking themselves? What kind of research should they be doing? How should they prep for a conversation with you about taking
on? Well, most of them have been listening to us on the radio for years. So they know how it works. They know the risks. They know the rewards. They know that the average profit is 22 to 24%, and that's 1% a month. If it's 24 months, you're going to make 24%. If it's 18 months, it's 18%. If it goes over, you have to deduct that amount, from your profit. But really, when people are coming to us, they're looking at the profit. They're looking at how different it is from the stock market. And we have some big accounts that they got out of the stock market to come to us because they didn't any longer want that risk, because they know that the stock market, even though it's up right now, when it falls, and that's all there is to it.
Is this a good time for somebody to, people who are thinking about it, maybe getting closer to retirement, really kind of examining things when it's up? Is this a good time for people to kind of get out?
I would think so. I would think now would be an excellent time with all the turmoil going on to get something a little more steady.
Yeah, get out while it's up instead of waiting until everything goes down.
Yeah, don't wait till it plummets, then say, hey, take my money.
you can't help them at that point.
That's right. It's a little late. Oh, my gosh.
What's the one thing that people say when they come over and they start doing this? What's the one reaction that you get from most people anyway?
Well, most people are glad that every time they have a maturity. I always get the thank you, when they have a maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, a lot of people have been with us 10 years. So we know it works. Some people have more maturities than others. Some is consistent. Their maturities are all the time. Then we have some people, theirs are slow. They got in some policies that are not going as good. But it'll all work out in the end. It always does. You always get your money. You always get your interest. And if you're doing it all the time, it always works.
Diversify.
If you're getting in and out, it doesn't work as good as when you're there all the time with a new policy.
So the key here is really be diversified and be consistent.
Yeah, be consistent and be diversified. You must be diversified and you must be consistent.
Okay. Should anybody do anything to kind of get ready before they come talk to you? Should they look and see where, any 401ks that they may have or add up
they
assets?
They need to see if they have any 401ks that need to be moved, or bring all the information on them. If they have an IRA, bring us the information on that. If it's a joint account, bring us the information on that.
All right, and that's really about it. There's no, it's nothing complicated. They don't have to get signed documents and all these crazy things.
No, just... I had somebody ask me the other day, Faye, do I have to prove my net worth? I said, no, but you have to certify it that, you know, that that is your net worth. And once you've certified it, we'll take it.
Yeah, it's like that's literally all it takes to get started. So
that's right.
I guess the biggest thing now is, you know, for appointments this coming week. Do you have availability to talk
yes,
to new people?
Yes, we're talking to people all the time. You know, we're setting up new accounts. We had people set up new accounts this week for all their family members. So, you know, we're always ready to talk to people.
Okay. So one last time, Faye, for people to make that appointment to come talk to you, get started, get get rolling on life settlements or really kind of any kind of financial planning to get ready for retirement, what is your phone number for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And AmericanFinancialMidland.com is our website.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.